Good morning. Philippians 1, 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God.
Thank you, Nancy. I don't know how well you can see that. It's not real crisp, but that is a camera lens. And the idea is that when you take a photo, you have to focus the camera in. At least the old camera, some of them automatic focus nowadays, which is kind of nice. But the idea being that we have to focus our lives, our eyes, our minds, our heart, everything that we are on Christ Jesus. When he was 88 years old, the late Supreme Court Justice Oliver Holmes once found on a train, actually in Pennsylvania, and he couldn't find his ticket. He became very upset. And he searched all of his pockets, and he searched through his wallet and his briefcase everywhere, just could not find the ticket. But the conductor tried to ease his anxiety. He knew him. He rode the train all the time. He said, "Mr. Holmes, when you get home, just find your ticket, send it in with the money. We certainly will trust you." And the Supreme Court judge was still agitated. He said, "My dear man, my problem is not where's my ticket. The problem is, where am I going?" I think we've all been there, where it was getting in a car and said, "Where was I headed? The grocery store, the mall? Where am I going?" But in our moments of journey of faith, I've asked myself, and I'm sure you have asked yourself at times, what wrong turn did I make? When I came to the fork in the road, why did I go left when I should have gone right? Things would have been so much easier in my life. And where am I supposed to be going with my life as who I am as a person and as a Christian? And the decisions that we make sometimes under stress, when we're unsure of our journey and our destination, will determine what happens to us. The attitude that we choose determines whether we will quit when the first roadblock comes up, the first detour in life. We'll say, "No, I can't do this. I'm just going to stop. I give up." What we need to have is courage and commitment to go that extra mile, to reach our destination in life and the destination that comes at the end of our life. St. Paul shows us a perspective of hope and courage when he found himself what certainly seemed like to be a dead-end road in prison. It doesn't get much worse than that. And what today will grab our attention and help us focus in on our life's direction? Will it be energy? Will it be enthusiasm? Or will it be discouragement and disillusionment? Will we be fueled by faith, or will we be fueled by our fears? What happens to us when we run head on into an unexpected detour and a roadblock? Do we become disappointed? Do we become disillusioned, depressed, and defeated? Do we raise our hands in despair, turn around and say, "Oh, I just give up, it's not worth it," and go home? How have you allowed in your specific life the roadblocks the detours, the things that are placed that seem like a stumbling block in your life, how has it affected you where you are right this minute in your life? You find yourself in church. There's silence. Are you crying out with anguish and with hurt? Saying, God, where are you? I'm not hearing your voice. What is happening to me? Do you care for me? Do you care for my family? Do you care what happens to me? Do you care that I'm sick, that I'm struggling financially? Do you care? Are you there for me? Now, our Bible is packed full of faithful biblical characters who traveled the road of life before us and experienced broken dreams and major disappointments that seemed to have a tenacity that would just pull them down, drag them down, and they would never be able to go on. But the Bible gives us these stories to tell us, do not give in and do not give up. I want to share with you the story of one of God's finest servants and role models in St. Paul, who had overcome broken dreams and difficult moments many times in his life when it seemed that he might have gone in the wrong direction. And he was shipwrecked. He was stoned, left for dead. And now he is put in prison. I think you could safely say that Paul was no stranger when it came to life taking its best shot at him, trying to knock him down, and then staying positive and staying true to the message and teachings of his Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture lesson was not written from some fancy hotel, or he wasn't under house arrest staying with some rich person eating nice food in a nice comfortable bed. He was in a damp, dark, depressing cell. I don't know if you've ever walked into a prison or not, if you've ever gone on the cell block where the prisoners are. For 5 months when I was a student, I worked at Luther Luckett Correctional Facility. And I can tell you, after that experience, I wanted to make sure I never ended up in prison. Your rights taken away. When do you eat? What do you do? What you wear? Everything is controlled. Even in the best of prisons, it is a bad situation. Imagine how these various moments of great difficulty could have framed Paul's life in a very negative way. What if he had just said, you know, this is just too tough. I'm following you, Lord, and I thought if I followed you, everything would be easy and good. I thought I'd have plenty of money that I could draw on. I thought I'd have plenty of friends. And here people are trying to kill me because I'm preaching the gospel. I'm telling them that you are Lord. Yet instead of quitting like so many people do when life deals a harsh hand, Paul declares, I count it all joy. Every time I read this in Philippians, it just kind of blows my mind. I count it all joy. He knew he might be down, but he believed that he would never be counted out. The difference between an admirer of Jesus Christ and a faith-filled servant of Jesus Christ is how we handle the pressures of life and how we allow them to affect our lives. When something bad happens, do you just go straight into a negativity, or do you think, I can overcome this through my relationship with Jesus Christ and my faith in God? Christians are supposed to be able to cope with unfairness because of the constant pressure of Jesus Christ in our lives, able to talk to Him every day, able to open up the Scripture. So how can we respond when we seem to be going in the wrong direction in life, when it seems like there's so many roadblocks? First of all, I think you have to keep the dream alive. You have to have a dream. Dreams inspire us. Dreams motivate us. Dreams can be powerful. Dreams of freedom and religious liberties propel countless people to move across oceans, risk their very lives, and many of them losing their lives. And we see it happening with the Syrians today, trying to get out of that war-torn region. And hundreds of them, men, women, children, drowning. Dreams are what motivate people to seek out the land of the free and the home of the brave. Almost everyone wants to come to the United States of America because of who we are, the opportunities that we have, and the freedoms that we have. You know, when you have a dream, I think of someone like Mother Teresa. And in her life, we read some things about she didn't know what she believed anymore because of all the hurt and the pain and anguish she saw in people's lives. But one time she was a school teacher, and she used her dreams and her visions, her ideas, to help the helpless, the hopeless, and those who are homeless around the world. She was a dreamer, and her dreams are what fueled the flames of her witness. So I ask you today, what kind of dreams and hopes and desires are in your very heart today? And how do these dreams and ideas measure up to God's dreams for your life? Are you lining them up with God? Or are you going down a different road and saying, God, I think you might want this, but I want this, so I'm going over here. How are we lining up our dreams here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church? A community of faith to witness to one another and to witness to those outside of these walls, to help them find a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not that all their problems will go away, but that they will have that relationship in the promise of eternal life, and they'll have a community of faith to help them. You know, the dreams of our forefathers and our foremothers propel them across oceans and continents. And how will we respond to the dreams and visions that God is placing upon our hearts to claim land, to claim people, to claim relationships for the kingdom of God, for the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? You know, according to a recent census statistics, 60% or more of those around any given church are unchurched. They just don't go anywhere. Now, there are a variety of reasons. Some people don't believe, some people are working, all kinds of things. But 60%. And as a church, we need to respond to the cries of people when they ask, does God care about me? Does God care about my family? Does God care that I don't have enough to eat? I can't pay my bills? Does God care about my hopes and dreams? Does God care that I'm lonely, that I'm afraid, and I don't know which way to turn? You know, God has promised that if we are faithful to His leading, He will help us as individuals, and He will help us as a church. But we have to line up our hopes and dreams with His for us, not going off in a different direction. What we need is faith to respond to the people that are hurting, that are lost, that need salvation. So keep your dreams alive, your individual dreams, and let's make sure we have a dream for our church and keep that dream alive. This is one key when it seems that you've lost your direction in life. It's also, I believe, the key to church growth. So don't allow the detours of life to prevent you from making the full journey of life. Do not be afraid to take the long way home. So many times we just want to go somewhere. We want to be there right now. We don't take the detour. We don't go the long way home. But you know, sometimes God leads us the longer way. The obvious way to go to the promised land from Egypt when they were being freed was to go by the sea. Instead, God sent the people south when they needed to go northeast. And for 40 years, they were in the desert. But that was God's plan for them. There was a reason. There was a purpose. David, before he was king, Saul tried to kill him. He had to take the long way to the throne. But he would not take Saul's life to be the king. Paul went the longer way to Rome. The long way is sometimes the wisest way, but it is not always the easiest way. Sometimes God has to teach us to say no to some lesser dreams in order to say yes to the bigger dream that He has for us. And when we fail, God doesn't throw us out like the garbage that's ready to mold and is starting to smell. God shapes us for a greater, more important work in our lives. Some people think if they fail in their own life, they've just got to quit. Or if a church tries something and it fails, oh, we can't do anything because we failed. We stepped out in faith and it didn't work. But no, you keep on keeping on. I think it's amazing that detours can be one way that a sovereign God leads us, guides us, and provides for us. There's no part or effort in our lives that cannot be used by God, even our failures, sometimes especially our failures, because often from our failures is where we learn where we should be going and what we should be doing. And that's the good news for those of us here gathered here today. Because when we make mistakes and take the wrong way, there's always hope. Because Jesus Christ is always there with us, trying to lift us up and help us and say, stay positive. We need to follow our dreams, and we must have the determination to run the race. You know, a mile race. I ran track in high school. I ran the 440, and I ran the mile. The 440 I kind of like because it's one lap. But the mile, four laps. You had to keep going until the end. And I think about marathon runners, 26 miles. They've got to keep going. They've got to have the courage, the stamina, the determination, or they'll stop maybe after a mile, maybe halfway. So, oh, I ran halfway. But they won't really to finish. I love the story. I told this years ago about a 10-year-old baseball player who went to summer camp. He wanted to be the best baseball player that he could be. So he was at camp for however long. He came back. He said, Dad, I want to show you what I've learned. And he grabbed his bat and his ball. He threw it up in the air, swung, missed. Did it again. Swish. Father could almost feel the air from the bat he swung so hard. Threw the ball up in there again, missed it a third time. He looked at his dad and said, you know, I may not be able to hit the ball, but I made a determination in camp that I would be the best pitcher in the world. Now, how many pitchers do you know that can hit the ball? Sometimes you just got to be able to do one thing and do it well. I really like the spirit of that young boy. And I believe that the question before us today is not whether we have roadblocks, but how will we react to the roadblocks that are placed in front of us? Will we run away from them, quit, or will we become more determined to reach our dreams and our goals as individuals, as families, and as the church here at Glenshell Valley? While we're on this planet, we need to labor. We need to laugh. We need to love. And we need to live. And I've been amazed at the various people who've been in prison and how they use their experience. My experience when I was working in the prison, we talked about recidivism. Is that the right word? So many people, when they got out of prison, would be back. Some in just a matter of months. Some were released from prison and committed crimes on the way home. Just boggles the imagination. And yet, there were people who, when they were put in prison, they said, you know, this is the bottom. I've got to do something with my life. How can I make a change? And they would seek an education. And many would seek a relationship with Jesus. They would become Christians. Yes, I know, I saw so many in there who used Christ for a while till they got out, then boom, back to their life. But those who made a real commitment, able to turn around their lives and go forward. The Apostle Paul used his time and wrote a letter to the church that he had founded. And he writes a letter to express his thanks and joy for their remembrance of him and the gifts that were brought to him. And he sends a letter back with a letter of thanks, which we know as the letter to the Philippians. We forget sometimes, this wasn't Holy Scripture. These were letters that these men, these apostles, wrote to someone. And it is called the Joy Book of the Bible. Paul found a joy that iron bars could not stop, that chains could not stop. Because his joy was not in his circumstances. His joy was in his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the impact of that joy produced a determination, which results in Paul's greatest determination and one of my very favorite scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That's where our real strength comes from. The apostle knew that there's nothing you can do to prevent adversity and sometimes having taken the wrong road. We've all done it. I've done it more times than I want to even admit. We can, however, by focusing on our master, control completely what adversity does to us. It can wreck us or it can enable us. We're called to keep our eyes on Jesus, to focus on our Lord. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. What was he looking at? The lion? No. He was looking at an angel, or he was looking at Jesus Christ, even though he didn't know about Jesus Christ at that time, looking at the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, they saw the image an angel or the Lord came to them. They were not looking at the flames or the circumstances. They were looking at the Lord, no matter what was going to happen. Paul knew his eyes in that prison should not be focused on the cell, should not be focused on the chains, but on Jesus Christ. When life's direction seems to go wrong, when you have taken, literally, the wrong road, don't become bitter, but become determined to get better. Use that time. Say, how did I go wrong? What can I do? How can I get closer to my Lord? So be a victor and not a victim. Don't let the dreams fade, but keep them alive, whether it's a personal one or one for our church. And don't quit. Keep on keeping on. Run the good race, the race of faith, all the way to the end. Not halfway, not even 9/10 of the way, 100% of the way. And most importantly, keep your eyes at all times focused on Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible calls us to do. That relationship, looking, pretend like you're looking into his eyes. Jesus, I love you. Help me. I need your direction. I need your encouragement. I need you every step of the way, all the way to the end and through eternity. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your problems, not on your circumstances, not on the roadblocks in life. And may God bless you. And amen and amen.